The Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Wow, what a beautiful morning. I was here before the sun came up, but still, it was beautiful. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool out there.
Just like us.
Yeah.
And on that note, let's pray.
Yes.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, strength of those who hope in you, who willed that the Bishop St. John Chrysostom should be illustrious by his wonderful eloquence and his experience of suffering, grant, we pray, that instructed by his teachings, we may be strengthened through the example of his invincible patience, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. John Chrysostom, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have a great show for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area. You guys, there are so many events going on right now. We'll give you details about that in 8 minutes. In 18 minutes, Kyle Board joins us. He's an editorial coordinator at Tan Books, and today he's going to talk about the Mystical City of God box sets. You can take a look at that. I don't know if it's too early to start talking about Christmas gifts, but you can have some ideas, you know, as we get closer toward the holiday season. So this is a really good one. It has great reviews as well online. So Kyle will give us details about that. Matt Estrade also joins us in 35 minutes. He's the author of Peace with Dementia Rosary. He'll be talking about a monthly update and what he has going on. And I just received one of his dementia prayer cards he did with Norman Fauché in the mail. You guys, it's so beautiful. And yes, he's going to give us details about this. Absolutely breathtaking, with a prayer on the back. So he'll give us details on that. In 48 minutes, Father Timothy Gallagher joins us to talk about his book called Struggles in the Spiritual Life, Their Nature and Their Remedies. I think this is a book that we can all maybe open up and take a read. So Father Timothy is going to give us details about that. But I know, Damian, we're all talking about the weather. It's a little bit cooler outside. Yeah. And it actually feels pretty good.
Yeah, I think everybody was surprised to get the feeling of fall already. It is going to be a lovely day today, to say the least. It's going to be that way actually throughout the rest of the week. And so we're getting a little fall appetizer right about now. Highs, though, are still going to be in the 80s, the mid-80s. So it will not be that bad, because the humidity is going to be so low. So we can deal with 80-degree temperatures when humidity is in the 40 to 50% range. And the low tonight, 62. Wow. That'll make you want to sit outside and enjoy the evening, watch the sunset. And temperatures right now, a couple of places still in the 60s. And there you go, that Heavenly Harp. Baton Rouge and Covington, it's 65 degrees. In Gulfport, it's 69. Home at Thibodeau already up to 71. And in the Crescent City, 74 degrees. All that cement keeps the heat in, so they don't get to enjoy 60-degree temperatures as often as they'd like. So with that being said, those are your temperatures. That's your forecast. Expect a great week. Get those flower beds all prepared for the fall, and you'll be in good shape. Trim those trees. Do whatever it is you got to do outside. But get out there and enjoy it, because, boy, it's been soggy for a while. But now we can enjoy that beautiful sunshine God's blessing us with. Don't go too far. It's five after the hour already here on Wake Up.
Today's gospel is taken from Luke chapter 7. Jesus journeyed to a city called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd accompanied him. As he drew near to the gate of the city, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he was moved with pity for her and said to her, "Do not weep." He stepped forward and touched the coffin. At this the bearers halted, and he said, "Young man, I tell you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, exclaiming, "A great prophet has arisen in our midst, and God has visited his people." This report about him spread through the whole of Judea and in all the surrounding region. We have heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
After miraculously healing the centurion slave, Jesus leaves Capernaum and goes to the city of Nain, a small Galilean village about 6 miles southeast of Nazareth. As he neared the gate of the city, Jesus was met by a funeral procession that would have consisted of the deceased, relatives, neighbors, paid mourners, and musicians. St. Luke informs us that Jesus was deeply moved at the sight of the grieving widow who was burying her only son, who was also her only means of support. She was doubly bereft. Can we doubt that Jesus saw in the suffering of this poor woman a foreshadowing of the agony of his own widowed mother, which she would experience on Calvary? Move with compassion, from the Latin word meaning to suffer with, cum passio. Jesus took the initiative to say to the mother, "Do not weep." Note, the tender compassion of Jesus' heart comes first, then the miracle followed. When Jesus touched the bier, all the spectators must have experienced shock. The Mosaic law declared that any physical contact with the dead rendered a Hebrew ritually unclean for an entire week. However, when Jesus said, "Arise," he eliminated the cause of defilement because the dead man sat up and began to speak. The amazed crowd glorified God and declared that Jesus was a great prophet. St. Luke intentionally connects this miracle to Elijah, resuscitating the son of the widow of Zarephath, because the expression, "he gave him to his mother," is taken word for word from that episode. The mother's joy in receiving her son back to life reminds us of the joy of our heavenly mother, what she experiences when we are raised to the supernatural life from spiritual death and the sacraments of baptism and confession. Jesus told us, "There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 religious persons who do not repent." We should never be afraid to repent. We must heed our Heavenly Mother's instruction. Do whatever He tells you. At Fatima, she admonished us, "Do not sin anymore, for my son is already so grievously offended." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Happy Tuesday morning, everyone. 11 after the hour. So glad you could join us on Wake Up. And right now, a number of events in and around our area. So if you've got pen and paper, get ready, because you'll be jotting down a few of these things, I'm sure. Tonight, from 6 to 9, Theology on Tap is taking place at none other than Estruma Brewing. You're going, okay, where's Estruma Brewing? It's in beautiful downtown St. Gabriel, Louisiana. That's right, right on Bayou Paul Road. And the talk is going to be from 7 to 8. So that means some socializing will take place before and after. Deacon Albert Blount is going to be doing the talk. What do you seek intentionally and vocationally? Now, this is for adults only, meaning if you're a drinking age and above, you can attend the Theology on Tap. So that's going to be fun. Tomorrow night, the Archdiocese of New Orleans is doing something that I think a lot of dioceses ought to be doing on a regular basis, and they are opening up all the churches for confession from 5 until 6:30. That's tomorrow night. So go to your local parish church. Should be open. You may want to check ahead of time just to make sure. But according to the Archdiocese of New Orleans, sacramental reconciliation will be taking place at all church parishes from 5 to 6:30 in the Archdiocese of New Orleans.
That's awesome.
It
I
is.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. So also tomorrow night, Sister Dulcie's Women's Spirituality class is happening. That's Wednesday, September 14th. That's usually from 6 to 7 p.m. at Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center in Baton Rouge. That's at the end of George O'Neill Road. So that's always a wonderful time. Sister starts right on time and ends right on time.
I love it.
Well,
love you guys,
that.
I'm
it's
so
important.
Excited to talk about this event. Yes. Okay. Gospel Fest is back. I remember talking about Gospel Fest before COVID, and it's so good to hear that it's coming back on Saturday, September 17th at 6 p.m. All are welcome to the 2022 Gospel Music Festival, back in person after a two-year COVID-19 related hiatus. The event will be held at the historic Carver Theater on Saturday, September 16th at 6 p.m. at the local gospel choirs. Take the stage in a showcase of faith to celebrate their extraordinary talent as a gift from God. Admission is free with the donation of a non-perishable food item to benefit Second Harvest Food Bank. It is sponsored by the Archdiocese Office of Black Catholic Ministries. For more information, you can go to arch-no.org. And I realize I just said two different dates, so I'm actually going to figure out which one is the right date and post that in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video so I can give that back to you. So, yeah, Damien, awesome. Glad it's back.
All right. Yes, indeed. And St. Padre Pio's Relics are back in New Orleans, this time on the West Bank at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. It'll be a week from this Friday on September 23rd. 8:30, we'll kick things off with a Mass for the children, followed by public veneration and blessing with relics, as well as prayer teams being involved all the way until Mass at 6 o'clock that evening. If you want to attend, you can also attend a rosary, which will be at noon. 10 a.m., I should say, noon, 2 o'clock, and 4 o'clock, so every 2 hours, and there'll be a Divine Mercy Chaplet beginning at 3 o'clock at St. Anthony's Catholic Church in Gretna, St. Padre Pio's Relics. For more info, you can call the church, and they'll give you all the details. Right now, though, it's 15 after the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 13th. Today, we celebrate St. John Chrysostom. Born in Antioch, John Chrysostom was ordained at 21 and distinguished himself as an outstanding preacher and a devoted servant of the poor. Moving to the great city of Constantinople, he was made a bishop, where he began his service under the cloud of politics. The Bishop of Alexandria wanted his own candidate in charge of Constantinople, and fearing John's power, took steps to discredit the new bishop. Often aloof, outspoken, and zealous, John Chrysostom took few steps to help his own cause. His sermons, sometimes lasting up to 2 hours, often stung the high and mighty. He consistently called for concrete steps to share wealth with the poor. The empress took offense at his denunciations of the court, and along with Alexandria's bishop sought his banishment. Charges were leveled against John, including that of treason for a sermon that linked the empress with the lurid Jezebel. After several years in exile, St. John Chrysostom died in the year 407. His final words were, "Glory to God for all things." A doctor of the church, he is also the patron saint of preachers. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Good morning. It's 19 minutes after the hour. Thanks for tuning in to Wake Up on Catholic Community Radio. Just to give you an update, Gospel Fest is happening this Saturday, so make sure that you head out that way. And I think Gabby linked that in the comment section of our Facebook Live video feed there. So check that out, Gospel Fest. It's been gone for a couple of years, but it is back. So that ought to be a great event. We are joined this morning by Kyle Bohr. He's the editorial coordinator with Tan Books. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, Alicia. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, we're so happy to have you on. The more I read about the Mystical City of God box, there's a box set that you have, but the more that I read about the Mystical City of God, the more I think I need the box set. So tell us about Venerable Mary of Agreda and about the Mystical City of God.
Yes, absolutely. So Venerable Mother Mary of Jesus of Agreda, that's her full title, was a 17th century nun in Spain. And she received visions throughout her life of the life of Our Lady. And that's the title, the Mystical City of God, is referring to the soul of Our Lady, the city of God where God truly dwells. Mm-hmm. That's the soul of Our Lady. So it's really an intimate look into the life of Our Lady that we don't have recorded fully in the Gospels on how she acted during the incarnation, during the early years of her life, during at the foot of the cross. All these things she was given visions of to help sanctify her and give her an example of how the true Catholic, the true Christian, is supposed to live through the lens of seeing how Our Lady acted, the perfect soul.
Wow! It's a beautiful set. The original, or there is a consolidated, but this is her writings of what Our Lady came and told her. Correct.
Correct.
And so it's interesting. This book or this writing of Sister Mary was Pope Pius XI found it such an important reading that he gave an apostolic blessing to all those who read or who spread the devotion of it. So talk about why is it such an important document to read?
Well, I think just one is recalling the centrality that Our Lady has in all of our lives, in all mm-hmm. our interior lives, where she is the greatest creature in the entire universe, where she's the only human person, she's the highest human person, the highest soul, right. And the way she acted was perfectly in accord with God's will. So what better way to know how we are to act than to think, how would Our Lady act? And mm-hmm. just as I think it would be a wonderful revelation if you could ever have it of what our Lord said on the road to Emmaus when he unfolded the scriptures. In a certain way, this is an unfolding of how the Catholic soul is supposed to act by looking at what did Our Lady do in this situation? What were her thoughts? What were her actions? What were her words? What was the setting? Where it gives really just such rich material for meditation to think upon, to dwell upon, to carry with us in our hearts and our souls on a true Marian spirit, which really ultimately is a spirit that's the closest to our Lord that we can possibly get. And that's why this work, it's a large book. It's 4 volumes, a beautiful hardback. But you can take it with you throughout your life and chew on little bits and pieces here because there's so much content that can hit us differently at different aspects of our lives to help us grow closer to our Lord, which is ultimately what the entire spiritual life is about.
Right. So you mentioned it is a 4-book series. It's they're hardbound books. Let our listeners know about how they're beautiful. It's a beautiful set, not only what's written on the pages, but the exterior of the book. So talk about that for us.
Oh, absolutely. It's a beautiful blue hardback with a gold foil and imprinting on it. So not only are the words beautiful, but also it looks beautiful. It's something to enrich the home, to give it a true Catholic flavor where we can, I have it on my mantelpiece. You can show just the beauty and glories of our faith somewhat just by displaying this book where it's something that looks nice. It's nice to hold. It's nice to read. And we even call it jokingly somewhat bookshelf furniture where it looks very nice on a shelf. Hopefully you read it, but even if you don't, it looks quite nice.
So talk about the interior of the book is reproduced. Is that correct? And has some original, the printing, some of it is original from the negatives?
So we have retyped it. So it's not just scanned, but the interior has been redone by Tan Books to where it's not just scanned in the mm-hmm. entire thing, but it's crisp, clear typesetting to where it's not simply a print on demand, but we keep these in stock as one of our most popular items. Oh. And so the interior is a little crisper than some previous versions had.
Okay.
Just the greatest we can to a work that deserves a lot of respect.
Beautiful. We're visiting with Kyle Bohr. He's an editor coordinator with Tan Books, and we're talking about the four book series or set, The Mystical City of God, which is about Our Lady, as written originally by Venerable Sister Mary of Jesus of Agreda. And it's a four book series, so talk about what each book contains.
Absolutely. Each work is just going through different stages of Our Lady's life. And so within them, it's really just chronologically going through. It goes through, it's entitled, book one is the conception, the Immaculate Conception, in the early stages of her childhood. And then book two is the incarnation. Book three is what she calls the coronation. So it takes part from Pentecost until Our Lady's Ascent. And then the final book culminates with her assumption into heaven.
Wow, that's beautiful. Here's a little known fact, or maybe it's a well-known fact. Mother Angelica herself, the foundress of EWTN, that was this book was, or this writing was one of the first spiritual books she read after her conversion. So it's very important to Mother Angelica. Wow. As well, right? Everybody needs a set. So this is a wonderful. So this is Our Lady appeared to Sister Mary and wrote this from her. So it tells a lot of wonderful stories of the Blessed Mother. Kyle, let us know where we can find a copy of, or a set of, The Mystical City of God.
Absolutely. If you go to tanbooks.com, T-A-N books.com, and you can just type in Mystical City of God, or even if you just put the word in mystical, it will be one of the first ones to come up, and you can find it there. We often run promotions on it, just to help get that into people's hands, to help them become saints, because that's ultimately what all of us are here to do. That's through right. Whatever occupation we have.
That's right. A must read. Be sure to check that out. Tanbooks.com. That's The Mystical City of God. Thank you so much, Kyle, for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Alicia, for having me.
Thank you. Wow. It is a beautiful set. Make sure you check that out, tanbooks.com. The more that I looked into it, and the more that I read about all the wonderful people who have read The Mystical City of God, I think it needs to be on my bookshelf as well. So be sure to check that out. One more event that we didn't have the opportunity to share with you, and this sounds like it would be right up my alley, is the Boiled Shrimp Cook-Off. It's an all-you-can-eat boiled shrimp cook-off. It is September 24th. And that it's put on by St. Anthony, St. Pius X, and the Knights of Columbus, Council 7350, and that is in Lafitte, Louisiana. So put that on your calendar. I think that's a good one. We talked about it last year, I think, yes, about how we thought we all needed to go. I did not make it there. So September 24th, it starts at 11. It'll be 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. All you can eat boiled shrimp. It's at St. Anthony Parish Hall on Jean Lafitte Boulevard in Lafitte. There will be music. There are tickets. The tickets are $20 for adults, $10 for children ages 6 to 12. There'll be some hamburgers and fries for people who don't eat boiled shrimp, right?
Well, I don't know, man. Boiled shrimp's hard to pass up,
that's
period.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, I guess, for the non-shrimp eaters, right?
Little kids. That's yeah. Right. Or right. Like you said, people who might be allergic to seafood.
Oh, that's true. Shellfish. That's true. Yes. So it's still fun, even if you are. So advance tickets are $20 for adults, $10 for children. But if you buy them at the door, it's $25 for adults. So keep that in mind. You can buy your tickets ahead. And you can go to St. Anthony or St. Pius. They're selling tickets on Sunday. Or you can call 504-689-4101 and get some more information about the great shrimp cook-off there in awesome. Lafitte.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So,
I think that's like a fun thing
I
to
love
do.
It. And I do want to say one more thing, because we are 1 month away from our fall drive time, you guys. Tuesday, October 11th through Thursday, October 13th. We have some great guests, some great hosts. It's going to be a great time. These are 3 days of on-air fundraising for Catholic Community Radio. We have it every fall. I'm looking forward to it. So save those dates, Tuesday, October 11th through Thursday, October 13th. So yeah, 1 month out, as we get closer, then we will reveal the guests and who will be on every hour. So it'll be a great time.
That's great. Gabby, let our listeners know why drive time is important to us.
Yeah, drive time is important because this the donations, we rely on listener donations, and during drive time, you can call in during an hour, your favorite priest, your favorite guest, and you can donate to Catholic Unity Radio. These donations help with operating costs and also to continue to expand our reach throughout the Gulf Coast area and Southeast Louisiana to reach those people who maybe can't go to Mass that day or who need to hear the rosary that day or who need to hear more about the Catholic faith. So it's a very important time, and we rely on these donations during these 3 days.
That's right. Well, hey, stick around. Our friend Matt Estrade, author of Peace with Dementia, Mincha Rosary, is joining us. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
Welcome back to Wake Up, 35 after the hour. Damian Collado along with Gabby Smith and Alicia Quibido, and our good friend Matt Estrade is with us right now. He's the author of Peace with Dementia Rosary, and he joins us for a monthly update. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Damian. Doing well. How are you?
Wonderful, sir. And let's talk. You finally, the completion of Norman's Fauché's painting has been done. And let's talk a little bit about that, because that's a big deal for you guys, and as well as a fundraiser.
Yeah, it's wonderful news. Praise God. I think we announced this. It was either in October or November on this very show. So here we are, you know, a little less than a year later. With the fruits of those labors. So this is something that's going to be, as we had planned, it's something that's going to be a prayer card. People can order it on a canvas, a huge canvas, on a smaller print, and we hope it's going to inspire people around the world.
Yeah, in fact, I'm just showing the prayer card right now. We can't really get a close-up, but here's the beautiful artwork, and then the prayers are on the back. And there's the prayer to the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. John the Evangelist, St. Diffna, and St. Raphael the Archangel, all good folks.
Yeah, all people you want in your corner.
That's right.
For sure.
Exactly. So why'd you pick those in particular, by the way?
Well, Our Lady of the Holy Rosary, very obvious. She's the cornerstone of the ministry. It started with a rosary, how it got inspired. And in St. Dimphna, I discovered next, as she's the patron saint of mental illness, of brain disorders, of anxiety and depression. And she was the first one I found as a patron, as I started doing research and thought, hey, maybe there's something to this. What is the Catholic response to dementia, Alzheimer's, and other types of dementia like Alzheimer's? And then, of course, I knew about St. John the Evangelist, but I didn't realize that he was the patron saint, or is the patron saint, of caregivers and care partners. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all these intercessors are revealing themselves to me, and then. And I did. He had been popping up in my life, and it when I finally spoke to Norman after Mass and asked him if he would do this project. Now, I hadn't met him before; I knew who he was, mm-hmm. But I went up to him and I said, "These are the intercessors, you know, I'd like to include." He's like, "Oh, well, we have to add Saint Raphael," and he told me why, because he dispenses God's healing graces in the Book of Tobit. He's also the patron saint of those who are on a journey, and dementia is definitely a journey. So that's the short story of how all four of them are on this special card.
Oh, wonderful saints. And yes, it's a beautiful prayer card. And how do they go about I want to get that out now before, rather than waiting till the end of the segment. If people want to start ordering these prayer cards and prints, what do they do?
Yeah, so it's really easy. They can go to dementiarosary.com/store, or if they can just go to dementiarosary.com and they can see all, they'll find the store there, and then they'll also be able to see all the free education, the podcasts, the videos, the articles, everything that we have on there. There's so much free stuff on there. The prayer card we only sell because we're using it to help grow the ministry.
Right. Let's talk about the ministry. What are some of the things taking place right now that people can maybe get involved with, especially if they have a loved one who may have memory loss or dementia?
Yeah, so I'm really excited that we are restarting a dementia family support group that we had prior to COVID. We had six good months, then COVID hit. And that's in Mandeville at Mary Queen of Peace Catholic Parish. So we're restarting that and just really excited. It will start September 15th, so this Thursday coming up at 6 p.m. in the Parish Life Center. And people can contact me. They can contact the parish. And it is also on the community events at Catholic Community Radio, so people can look there as well.
And what takes place at these meetings, and how long do they last?
So we'll meet for between an hour and an hour and a half. People can stay as long as they want to. And it will be like many support groups where you're around people who get it because they're in a similar situation. They're a caregiver or someone in their family may have an official diagnosis, so they may not even have an official diagnosis. And we just talk about life. We talk about challenges they might experience, blessings that they're experiencing, and sort of unpack what's going on. And this is different than the other support groups that I have with my full-time work and with St. Tammany Parish Council on Aging, and that is Catholic focused. So everyone can speak freely about praying the rosary and asking for the intercession of saints, and you know, what does it mean to carry my cross, and what is redemptive suffering? So, and we sometimes get into those topics if people bring it up in those other groups, but this one, being at a Catholic church, being based on the book, there's no doubt when people come in that we will be talking about some of these really very rich Catholic ideals and traditions that I think you really need. It can't just be practical advice. We have to go to the saints. We have to see what the Catholic Church says about carrying our crosses, and what does this mean that now, you know, I this person is in my care, and talk about the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. So it's just, you know, a very, very, very rich experience.
Very much so. And you know, your book, Peace with Dementia Rosary, it as I was reflecting on my dad and his battle with Alzheimer's, one of the things that I remembered were the fact that he never forgot, one of the last things he forgot, I guess I should say, is the Our Father and the Hail Mary and the Glory Be. And that's one of the things. He may have not been able to put sentences together toward the later years of his life, but we were able to still pray the rosary. And I guess that was embedded. It's one of the last things that left his mind. Do you see that also with others?
I do. I see it personally, and I hear the same thing from deacons and priests and family members, that their loved one, up until a certain point. Now, when you get to the very late stages where their, you know, death may be imminent, they may not be verbal at all.
Correct.
Or they may not know the prayers, but you can still say the prayers for them. But yes, my experience has been those things that and it's not just the supernatural power of the prayers. It's things that were learned much earlier in life. Those tend to stick around a lot longer. So that long-term memory, those rote the things that we learn, tend to stay. And it's such a blessing, because it's not just the supernatural graces from saying the prayers, but it's the comfort that it offers that person, and it's the comfort that and the memories that it creates for the caregivers like yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the peace. And that's why I believe the title of your book is great, Peace with Dementia Rosary. Where can they go to get a copy of that, just in case they're hearing about this for the first time?
Yes, so it is, of course, available at Amazon, like all books. But if people go to dementiarosary.com, they can more of the proceeds will go to our efforts and not to Jeff Bezos. So, and what I'm also very happy to mention is that for the first time, because we have the online store at the website, now we have signed books. Before, you could order it from the website and it would come from a printer. I can't remember where they are in the United States, but it would get shipped directly to them. Now, with my small inventory of books that I have here in Covington, if you order them through the online store, I'll go ahead and sign them and put them in the mail. So
Great. Oh,
that's
great.
Two ways to get it.
And if they want to attend the meeting or to learn more or maybe even set up a meeting with you one-on-one due to the fact they have a loved one with memory loss, what do they do?
Yeah, so there's ways on the website to contact me where it just says contact me or contact Matthew, and they can do that. Also in the store, you can look at setting up private time one-on-one with me.
Awesome. Matt Astride, thank you for being with us this morning on Wake Up.
A pleasure.
Always good to talk with you. Don't go away. We have more here on Wake Up.
It is 48 past the hour. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Our next guest is Father Timothy Gallagher. Today he joins us to talk about his book called Struggles in the Spiritual Life, Their Nature and Their Remedies. And I think this is a book that we can all, at least once, maybe a few times in our spiritual life, just take a look. Father Timothy, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about your book. I think this is so relevant. We go through a roller coaster of emotions, I think, in our spiritual life, and our journey is not one straight line when it comes to our prayer life and our spiritual life and our relationship with God as we go through everyday life. Tell us a little bit about your book and how that can guide and help us.
Well, the book came to be because the publisher asked if I would write just the book that I did write. And that is a kind of a review of the various struggles and problems that we can have in the spiritual life. Now, obviously, we live our spiritual life, excuse me, because we love the Lord, because the key thing about it is the peace and the joy and the security that it gives. But along the way, there are struggles. And very often, we don't quite know. My prayer is dry. Why is it? What do I need to do? I'm feeling discouraged after feeling so much energy earlier in the spiritual life, and how do I make sense out of that? So what this book does is, in a very easy-to-read, approachable way, it goes through the whole list of struggles we can have in the spiritual life. From the most basic, you know, I'm just too tired to pray. Well, the remedy is pretty clear in that case. Through what Ignatius calls spiritual desolation, dryness in prayer, and on the other end of the spectrum, John of the Cross's dark night. So that's what the book offers. And, you know, what I'm finding is that when people see the title, generally they say, oh, I need that, you know, because we all have struggles in the spiritual life.
Absolutely. I know that I've struggled with this a few times as well. And I know a lot of people who are struggling with burnout right now, and they're struggling with spiritual dryness. They can't really hear God in prayer like they used to before. When someone comes to you and asks you this, Father Timothy, how do you respond? How can we kind of get back on track and start feeling that again and kind of being connected with the Lord?
Well, if I have, you know, I'm actually sitting down with the person, the first thing that I'll do is listen. And as the person will describe his or her experience, generally you can come to see what the root of the dryness is. And when people don't have the chance to sit down with someone, I'd like to hope that the book is helpful. There actually, I give eight different scenarios in which a person can say, my prayer is dry. In one case, it might be that the person just needs more instruction from our Catholic spiritual tradition on how to pray. In another case, it may be that the person, there's some negligence coming in somewhere. In another case, it may be that God is calling the person to a deeper form of prayer. And so that what the person experiences as dryness is actually a beautiful thing. So there's a whole array of things that that can mean. And my hope is that for people who don't really know, you know, with whom to talk, or even if you do, that just reading through these, the person will say, that sounds like what I'm experiencing. And then the chapter shows the person what he or she needs to do.
Mm-hmm. We've been hearing a lot more and more about whether you're hearing the voice of God in prayer or is it the voice of the enemy. How do we discern that when we're really trying to figure out God's will for our life in our prayer and in our spiritual life?
Oh, I'm so glad you've asked that. So the short answer is learn St. Ignatius of Loyola's 14 rules for the discernment of spirits. I've spent 35 years now teaching them. I've written a series of books on them. And I have witnessed invariably over the years how these rules answer exactly the question that you've posed there. How do I know whether this attraction, resistance, heaviness of heart, joy. How do I know what's of God in that and to be followed, and what might be of the enemy, as Ignatius calls him, and is to be avoided? I would almost plead with people to learn those, excuse me, those 14 rules, because they'll make all the difference.
Father Timothy, those who are struggling with temptations, maybe those who are struggling with an addiction right now or struggling kind of to get back on track and trying to figure out how to really focus on what's important, maybe get back to a happier and peaceful way of life, because right now it's very chaotic. Any advice or any way in your book that kind of describes how we can maybe resist these temptations and give it to God?
If the person is, and I'll say it with reverence, is dealing with addiction, then it would be wise to use the medical, psychological, and so forth remedies, you know, groups and all of the resources that are there today, to use the human resources, and then at the same time to be using the spiritual resources. And that will get us back again to my mind, the clearest expression of the Catholic tradition that explains this kind of experience and shows a person the way forward is, again, what Ignatius did in those amazing 14 rules, as he calls them, or practical guidelines. Mm-hmm. I think if a person's using the human tools, and we shouldn't overlook those if it's a question of addictions, if it's a question of temptations and discouragement in the spiritual life, then I would turn to St. Ignatius. And I can promise anyone who does that you'll be glad that you did.
Yeah, yeah. And we've been talking a lot about Ignatian spirituality on our morning show. St. Ignatius of Loyola is such a great saint and a great model for this as well. Father Timothy, real quick before we do a closing prayer, what inspired you to write something like this? And how do you get your inspiration? Because these are topics that I think every Catholic is looking for at some point in their spiritual life.
It came about because of people's response. When I first started giving very, almost hesitant, simple talks on Ignatius's teaching on discernment, and then the responses, which generated now 35 years of writing and teaching, people just can't get enough of it, because it sets us, sets captives free. It gives us light. It gives us hope. It gives us not just inspiration, but concrete tools that we can use. So I'm saying it out of long experience. If you're discouraged in the spiritual life, confused, feeling burdened, and you don't know what to do, learn those 14 rules. And if I may, I could mention the resources that I have crafted to help people with that. I don't know if that's appropriate here.
Sure. Yes, we have about a minute left.
The book is called The Discernment of Spirits, an Ignatian Guide to Everyday Living. And then I've done a series of podcasts which are available on any major platform, YouTube, iTunes, etc. Go to download the Discerning Hearts app, which is a wonderful resource. Tap on Spiritual Formation, tap on my name, and it'll all be there.
Oh, wonderful. Father Timothy Gallagher, author of the book Struggles in the Spiritual Life, Their Nature and Their Remedies. You can go to sophiainstitute.com to purchase your copy of this book. Father Timothy, before we let you go, may we ask for a priestly blessing?
Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we ask for your love and abundant blessing this day on all who are part with us of this conversation. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Definitely check that out. I linked it in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. A great topic. I think at one point in time, we maybe all need to maybe reflect on. This is a great book, and I'm so glad he touched on all of these topics as well. But that wraps up our show today, you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Johnny Aber joins us with his gospel reflection. Peter Finney with the Clarion Herald updates us on what you'll find in this week's issue in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Dr. Tom Neal from Notre Dame Seminary will be with us, and Dr. Ray Guarendi talks about his book called Taught by 10, A Psychologist Father Learns from His 10 Children. So that's going to be a great interview with Dr. Ray. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.